When we talk about traffic, we're glad to have Seattle Patrol Officer John Abraham on the case. If you're confused about road rules, Officer John Abraham is here to answer your questions. And we're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free if you're outside our area, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Officer Abraham has been a traffic cop for 22 years. He's the lead officer of the hospital response team, and he's been chair of the Help the Officers program. They work with families of policemen who've been shot or died in the line of duty. Officer Abraham, thank you so much for coming back. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me again. I appreciate the invite.
Got to ask you a little bit about yourself. You've been telling us about how your retirement kind of coming up.
It's coming up 42 days, but who's counting?
42 days. How many minutes and hours?
No, I haven't figured it out that bad yet.
All right. Also, before we get to traffic, the chief, John Diaz, just announced yesterday he's going to be leaving the force. He said it was time for him to move on. Let me ask you, do you think it was time for him to move on? What do you?
Well, that's a personal thing, but John has over 30 years in service, and I know I've had actually over 30 years in service also, and it is a long time, and his job is probably one of the most demanding on the department. I have nothing but the deepest respect for him. He's a good man and a good cop, and I appreciate everything he did, and I think it's if he feels it's time to go, then it's time to go because I'm doing the same thing.
How many years have you put in all together on the?
About 31 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're right up there with him.
But, you know, in a way, it's very sad for me the same day yesterday because it's John Diaz's retiring is kind of overshadowed by the fact that our department chaplain, John Owis, passed away yesterday.
Not aware of that.
And that's a great loss to the entire department. He was just a very, very, very honorable, nice man. He actually married my wife and I, so.
Who's also on the Seattle police, is your wife?
No, my daughter is a deputy sheriff with King County.
Runs in
as
the
is her husband.
Runs in the family. We're going to have you just to talk about police families.
No worries. My oldest daughter was married to my old partner, but that's another story.
All right, we'll save that for another day. All right, now on to traffic. We know you had a bunch of questions that you haven't gotten asked yet that you'd like to get to, but we do have some others here from Kelly in Seattle. I've been waiting to ask the traffic cop, what are my options when a police officer signals to pull over? If I'm alone and feel uncomfortable with the location, can I exit the freeway and or continue driving until I reach a place where there are other people? Does it make a difference whether the police car is marked or unmarked? And that's Kelly's question, maybe reflecting on the fact we've heard these reports of people dressing up like police officers and doing nefarious things. But does she have any right to kind of delay where she pulls over for that traffic stop?
It is a woman's driving alone, her concerns are well warranted. A marked police car, I think you're pretty sure that it's going to be, especially if you're on a freeway, it's going to be a trooper. However, the troopers use a lot of ghost vehicles. My suggestion would be that you use your turn signal to indicate that you are pulling over. And if you feel insecure, then I would go to someplace that's well lighted before you pull over. And I would also, if you're on a freeway and you have to pull over, then pull over. Make sure your doors are locked. The officer comes up. Be very upfront with that officer. Crack your window. Don't open it all the way and say, look, I'm very, very nervous about this. Would it be possible for you to call in a second vehicle? Would it be appropriate? Would you mind if I pulled down the road? And usually they'll work with you. I mean, it's understandable. I told my wife, you know, if you're concerned about a police officer pulling you over, don't hesitate to find some area that's well lit. The emphasis is well
sure.
lit and
yeah.
safe.
Well, that's good to hear that it would not necessarily be construed as evading contact with the police if you did do what you just suggested.
Right. If an officer hits his siren, that's usually an indicator, like if he's behind you and you're driving down the roadway, the officer may have picked an area that he feels or she feels is safe and for both you, the violator, and the officer. So usually when they chirp the siren, if they've been following for a while, they want you to pull over. That's when I would pull over, signal, pull over, make the conversation with the officer and say, I feel uncomfortable right now. Would you mind calling in another vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind if I pulled up? And usually if it's a legitimate officer,
yep.
they're not going to give you a hassle.
Officer John Abraham's with us, 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW. Write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. You wanted to bring out some things about traffic safety that no one has asked you yet, at least on this show. For example, I did not realize this. Don't use your cruise control on a rainy day?
No. The cruise control on your car is designed to propel the vehicle down the road. If you have the cruise control on when the road is wet and the surface of the road is slippery, the tires can actually lose traction because the car, you may want it to slow down, but the cruise control is saying, you've set me for 60 miles an hour. I'm going to do 60 miles an hour. Now, if your car starts losing traction, the tires are still going to be spinning at 60 miles an hour, but the car is going to be losing control. So you want to make sure that your cruise control is off when it's wet.
This is another
slick.
This is another interesting one. Is snuggling against the driver against the rules of the road?
It is. It is because it's you're interfering with the driver's ability to drive the motor vehicle. So it can be inattention to driver. It can be another ticket, that's a separate one that's obstructing the driver's performance. But yeah, you don't want to be snuggling too close. You can sit beside them.
Sure.
But, you know, that driver has to maintain hands on the wheel.
Such a standard scene in the movies. So now we know that they might have gotten pulled over for doing that if it was real life. We've got Misty on the line. She's calling us today from Capitol Hill. If you've got questions about the road rules, 206-543-5869. Misty, what's your question?
Hi. When the traffic signal is a red or a green arrow, and you're going to turn right, can you make a free right turn when the arrow pointing right is red?
Come to a complete stop. If there's not a sign there that indicates that you're not permitted to make a turn against the red arrow, yes, you can. But you must first come to a complete stop.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your question. Ann Dornfeld, sticking around with us in the studio for this segment. You had a question for Officer Abraham about road rules. What is it, Ann?
Yeah, I have a clarifying question. So would the passenger in that snuggling situation get the ticket for obstructing the driver? Or would it be the driver's responsibility to?
The driver is in control of that motor vehicle. Most of the tickets go to the driver, unless your passenger who is over 16 years of age, for example, does not wear a seatbelt, and you, the driver, have a seatbelt on, and you pull that vehicle over, then the passenger would then get the ticket for being old enough to know better, but dumb enough not to buckle up.
This is another one of the things you wanted to make sure that people were aware of, and I've heard this before. The general advice is you want to stay back from a car by about one car length for every 10 miles per hour of speed.
Correct.
First of all, what's that based on? And also, like, how do you eyeball that? I don't quite have six car lengths in my head as a distance if I'm going 60 on the highway.
Have you ever heard of the two-second rule?
What's that?
The two-second rule is that you're driving down the road and the car in front of you passes a fixed object. You count 1,001, 1,002. It's now 1,003 because vehicles are moving at a higher rate of speed. But after that vehicle passes the fixed object, you count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. If you arrive at that same fixed object at 1,002 instead of 1,003, you're too close to be able to stop safely prior to hitting that car should there be an emergency situation and they lock up their brakes.
Well, that brings up another question. What if someone is tailgating you, they're going too fast behind you? What should you do in a situation like that? It makes me nervous.
Tapping your brakes to try and get them to back off is one thing to definitely try doing. And you can do that and during the daytime, you don't have to tap your brakes. If you're concerned about braking and that vehicle is way too close, what you do is you turn your headlights on and off. It brings your taillights on and off as if you're braking. So you try that trick. If that trick doesn't work and they're still wanting to tailgate, my suggestion would be, if you can, to safely pull over and let them by. If you're in a lane of travel on a freeway and they're doing it, move over, let them by. You've got somebody that is frustrated, angry, or that's just the way they drive. And believe me, I've met a few of those.
Doug wrote to us. He wants to know, why doesn't law enforcement enforce the ban on dark windows when you can't see inside the car? How can you enforce bans on distracted driving or snuggling and driving and patrol the HOV lane? What about that?
Actually, we do. We do enforce tinted windows. We have tint meters that we can use that give us a percentage of darkness that is permitted. However, that said, I don't know if you recall, but back about, and I want to say 2 years ago or better, State Patrol was issued tint meters. They went out and started enforcing tints, and the public complained, and the tint meters, they stopped doing tints because of those complaints. I don't know what's going on there, but yes, we do enforce dark windows with tint meters, so.
Now, you're supposed to have insurance if you're driving an automobile. Not everybody does. If you get pulled over and license and registration, are you going to have to reveal to someone that you don't have insurance? And if that is revealed, what are you subject to?
You're subject to a $520 ticket. And then your job would be to go and get yourself a insurance, go to court, see the magistrate. The magistrate will then, as long as you prove that you have insurance, will reduce the ticket probably down from the higher number.
Got questions for Officer Abraham, 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869, or you can write if you'd like to. It's conversation at kuow.org. Mark is on the line, and he's giving us a call today from Kirkland. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks for your call. What's your question for Officer Abraham?
When can you make a legal U-turn?
When it's safe to do so.
Oh, you can do it anywhere, anytime, as long as it's safe?
Not on the freeway. definitely, you can make a U-turn in the city of Seattle as long as it's safe to do so, with turn signals, appropriate pre-warning, make the U-turn. But if you cause an oncoming car to have to slow down, or if you create an unsafe situation, then you are subject to a U-turn ticket.
Now, even if there's a double solid line on the road, you can go over that double solid line and make a U-turn if it's safe?
Well, it's happening. I mean, the double yellow is, yes, it can be done, but you need to, again, safety is the issue.
This is kind of related. Danny in West Seattle wanted to know, when is it ever okay to make a left turn across a double solid yellow line down the middle of the road?
Say that again.
When is it ever safe to make a left turn across a solid double yellow line? Can you ever go across that solid double line? If you just said,
are you talking just a double line, or are you talking an 18-inch wide solid yellow line?
He writes a solid double yellow line.
It's done regularly. Again, it's going to depend on where you're going and what your purpose is. If you're going into a driveway, number of lanes you're crossing, again, safety is an issue. That's the best. I guess I'm a little vague on the solid double yellow.
Hey, Danny, if you want to write back with something more specific about what you mean by double yellow line, Officer Abraham's not really clear on that. We'll see if we can't get it answered for you. Over at Lake City, Julie's on the line. Julie, what's your question about road rules?
Hi. So I have a 18-month-old son, and I always wonder if he counts as a second passenger in order for me to ride in the carpool, or if I need someone who is 16 years of age or older in order to be in the carpool lane.
Nope. Baby's fine.
Baby's fine. Okay. As long as it's a second body, you're okay.
Correct.
Baby makes two.
As long as it's a real baby.
Mark is calling us from Eastlake today. Mark, thanks for joining us. What's your question for Officer Abraham?
Hi, gentlemen. Speeders can obviously be dangerous, but it seems from many years of driving that people who are in passing lanes who aren't passing create most of the problems. Yet I've never seen someone not passing in a passing lane pulled over. Why would that be?
It could be the number of troopers, police officers that are in the area. However, if they're doing the speed limit, they're entitled to be in that. They can be in that lane unless it's posted, move right, except to pass. And that's when you'll find the state troopers are a lot more open to making a violation and citing.
Mark, does that answer your question?
I guess the question was, is it illegal to do that? And it sounds like the answer is no, it's not.
As long as they're obeying the speed limit and it's not posted, move right. I mean, it's sort of a non-official rule that you should move right and let people that want to go a little faster than you have that left lane. However, unless it's posted that move right except to pass, then there aren't a lot of tools that the police can use to enforce it if they're obeying the speed limit.
Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for your phone call. I appreciate it. John writes to us, there were nearly 1,600 jaywalking tickets issued in 2010. In the same year, there were fewer than 200 failure to yield citation. So John writes, in the city's own reports, failure to yield is the number one cause of injuries and deaths, while jaywalking doesn't even make the list. Why does the Seattle Police Department put all the onus on pedestrians and not irresponsible drivers?
Your statistics are probably correct. However, we do write citations to vehicles failing to yield to pedestrians, and the pedestrian violations are probably high in 2010 because there was an emphasis by the mayor's office at that time to enforce a jaywalking violations, and that's why the numbers are so high on the jaywalking side versus the failure to yield.
So you think they might be lower if you looked at 2011, 2012?
I think if you look at 2011, 2012, you'll find that they're probably a lot more closely numbered, although I'm not certain.
Is this a discussion among traffic officers? This number obviously jumped out at John. So many citations for jaywalking, very few injuries and deaths, so few citations for failure to yield, so many injuries and deaths. Is that a discussion you've had within the department?
Not to my knowledge that has it been discussed. We sometimes get requests from the mayor's office or from the department to go on to an emphasis such as jaywalking. For example, back about, 15 years ago, the city of Seattle wrote 22,000 jaywalking and pedestrian or right-of-way to pedestrian violations in 1 year, and it was the heaviest amount of tickets written by any department in the country. And then it sort of diminished. That emphasis was over and we moved on to something else that was more life-threatening.
Carla writes to us, hello, I'm noticing an increasing number of bicyclists, especially in the U District where we are, who commit traffic violations, running stop signs, going the wrong way in a crosswalk, etc. Yet I never, writes Carla, I never see any of these offenders getting traffic tickets. Why not?
We don't have the manpower to continually enforce these violations. We try as best we can. We do do a lot of bicycle violations in the downtown core. It's number of manpower availability to enforce all these different laws and rules.
You know, one of the last times we had you on, I was really fascinated when you said some officers will ticket you for things that other officers might not. I mean, there is a certain degree of discretion when it comes to what an officer does or not. I wonder if that's anything you discuss within the department. You kind of compare citations and go, oh, this guy's doing this all the time and that guy's doing this all the time. Is there something going on here that they're enforcing the same laws in different ways?
I think it goes on industry-wide. I mean, yeah. As far as law enforcement is concerned, different officers have pet violations that they want to write tickets on, and other officers do not. I don't like people that tailgate, so I'm more likely to write a tailgater where somebody else might not. So is it discussed sometimes?
Yeah. If you're in that car and you see that officer on the motorcycle pull up and it's officer with badge number 13 and you've been tailgating, look out. You might be getting a hard time. 42 days and counting, and then he will be out of there, Officer John Abraham. But we're going to try to talk him into coming back after he's not officially on the Seattle Police Department, because we really enjoy having you ask questions.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
It's great. This is KUOW 94.9 Seattle.